Can we have a stack, please?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I want to be on the stack too. But if somebody else wants to go first, that's fine. Did you want to be on, Melinda and Manajay?
Yes, Manajay won. Yeah.
Okay. Did you also, Melinda?
Yes.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Melinda, and then Manajay.
Russell too. I'd like to be on the stack again.
Okay.
I think we ought to remember something, and that is that when the bylaws were written at the time, there were a lot of things that we didn't have any way of knowing. A lot of events which have come, including financial considerations. I think we need to remember the fact is that, you know, 45 days, that's going to cost a lot more money. The thing is that we are adding more and more debt to this whole thing. It's not really accurate to say that there has been no information forthcoming because we have, of course, the candidates on the air. We've had forums. We've had, of course, the online, but we also we've been on the air all throughout the whole elections. I think that we need to bear in mind that we've got to bear fiduciary accountability on this matter. I do agree that it would be a good thought to have it, but to be frank with you, I cannot vote in favor of that for that reason.
Okay. Well, I had myself on the ballot on the stack too.
Manajay. No.
Well, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Manajay, and then I'll speak after you.
And
that's fine. Thank you.
You haven't talked about these things. You go ahead. I've tried to speak after you. It's okay.
Okay. The bylaws do not require that the candidate booklets be sent along with the ballot. They don't even mention the candidate booklets, if I remember correctly. They say that they don't even require that ballots be mailed. They say that they need to be mailed or otherwise made available to everyone to vote. That, in other words, they allow for electronic voting with people having the ability to request written ballots if they don't get one. So that was decided earlier. We're going to send written ballots to everybody, but as Renee and Arlene explained, they decided this was back, I guess, early July, that mostly due to financial considerations, they did not plan to print and mail all the booklets with the ballots to everybody and only send them on request. And then again, our committee voted to send them to everybody. The PNB made a recommendation to do that. That was done, I think, the Friday before the ballots were supposed to be mailed on Monday. And so the issue still was money. Everybody agrees it was a good idea. It would probably increase voter participation, but it costs a lot. Renee said it was going to cost about, I think, over $30,000 to do this. And there was also the delay of, you know, getting them printed. The printer wanted money in advance before they'd print them. They didn't have the funds in the national office, so they had to wait till all the stations sent the money. Then they had to be printed and mailed. So, the candidates have had, I hope, at all stations, all the carts been playing for several weeks. They're going to keep playing until the end of this month. Most or all the stations are going to have fund drives next month, which usually interferes with cart playing and things like that. So, I'm not sure any extensions needed if the candidate booklets arrive by the end of this week, because the people that haven't seen them yet are still going to have 2 weeks to look at them and vote. And I think a lot of people are waiting anyway because they want to hear all the in-person forums. Now, if there's not quorum, the NDS already has the authority and pretty much the responsibility to extend the deadline. So that'll happen anyway. So I don't think this is necessary. And it'll cost a lot of money, and I don't know where the money's coming from. So, okay, Manajay?
And may I get on the stack at the end?
Answer some of my question that I have. Thank you.
Hello, it's Campbell on the call.
Oh, hi, Campbell.
Hi.
Okay, go ahead, Manajay.
Question is answered. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Okay, Russell's... Oh, let's see. Yeah, Russell's next. Now, let me see if anybody else that hasn't spoken on this yet want to speak.
Ken.
Can I speak on something else?
Well, right now we have a motion on to extend the balloting period to 45 days from the mailing of the booklets. So that's what we're discussing right now.
That sounds good.
Okay. But Ken wanted to speak.
Personal privilege for a moment, please.
Okay.
Ambrose Lane's health as an attorney, and I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, Renee told us about that. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear that. Okay. Ken.
Okay. I would speak to, there seems to be some kind of flim-flam here. If the quorum's not met, we're going to extend the elections anyhow. And that's going to that's going to cost money, or that's not going to cost money, but extending it to 45 days after the booklet's sent is going to cost money, but extending it to reach quorum, extending the election is not going to cost money. And the $30,000 we supposedly saved by not mailing the booklets saves us money by how? When we have to extend the election to meet quorum and handle lawsuits that are going to come up because sending the ballots without the booklets favors people who have computers who are insiders. It's not your uniform distribution of information to the electorate. And there's going to be lawsuits. And it was in violation of requests and recommendations from the governing body. So it was an act of mutiny by the executive director and the NES. If they didn't have the funds or the abilities to shepherd our income, they know from the beginning of the year this is an election year. They can budget it out and figure out what to do about getting the money. Money can be saved in many areas. $30,000 is a half of a full-time person. And there's a lot of travel that goes on. There's a lot of expenses that happens all over the network. And to put a cost savings like that in the present, $30,000 for the printing and distribution of the booklets, that's going to expose us to added potential costs in the future of extended elections and possible lawsuits, is very bad management. So I think it's silly, on one hand, to say it's going to cost us money to extend it for 45 days, but then on the other hand, to not say what's it going to cost us to extend the election when we don't make quorum. It's the same thing. Extending it 45 days and then extending it another 2 weeks, fine. You know, if you don't want to do that, then just abandon the quorum requirements and go with what you got at a certain date. But, you know, the idea is to seat a new board that demonstrates the will of the electorate, which in this case is the subscribers to the radio station.
Okay. Renee?
I thought there was someone else that hadn't spoken and wanted to speak.
Only Campbell. Did you want to speak, Campbell?
I can speak after Renee.
Okay.
So Renee's already spoken once.
Yeah.
Russell was. I was on the stack too, and
That's right.
For me,
that's
because
right, because he hadn't spoken on this one yet. Okay.
The motion, because he had attended the meeting prior to the motion being, after the motion was made. Campbell, the motion was made by Renee Bowser to extend the election to 45 days from the date of the mailing of the candidate booklets.
Okay, that's,
that's the motion we're speaking to.
Right, that's what I thought. But certainly, if I'm to comment now, it certainly, I think, makes a whole lot of sense. And I'm very much concerned that we've, I just caught the tail end of somebody's remark on budgeting and what's good management and what is not sound management. And I certainly would identify with those concerns. And I think that, we don't need to be penny wise and pound foolish. And that's, I'm afraid, what is taking place. And so I would speak in support of the motion.
Now it's Russell.
Okay, Russell?
Yeah. First of all, I just wanted to mention that, you know, not only did the our committee vote on this twice already about the booklets, but the PNB, you know, passed both times a resolution saying that we should do this, and that's a binding ruling. The PNB said that the booklets should go out, so that's an important important point, I think, to make. I was going to make exactly the same point as Ken just made about the fact that, you know, you're not, Melinda, I don't, you know, with all due respect, I don't think you're considering the expense of a possible lawsuit if we should get sued for not, you know, sending the booklets out and giving people enough time to vote on the basis of information. The bylaws, I'm sorry to say, you know, well, I think that Bill is technically correct. It doesn't mention booklets. It does say that the candidate statements have to go out. So I just said the book. It says the booklets have to go out, but it's the candidate statements that have to go out with the ballots. They have to be published. You know, and we, as a PNB election committee, moved, and the PNB itself moved that those booklets should go out, and they have it. And we need to take action to make sure that things are done correctly to avoid a possible lawsuit. I also want to recommend make an amendment to the motion.
Okay.
The amendment would just add that the committee chair is directed to forward a copy of this motion to the NES, the ED, and the PNB by 8 a.m. Eastern, you know, Eastern Time, on Wednesday, September 15th, 2010, with a request that the NES advise the Elections Committee of any actions related to and or based upon this motion.
Okay, can you email that? So,
sure.
Okay, I don't mind doing that, but I need to make sure I get it from what you say. Just send it to all the committee. Assuming we pass this, okay. All right. Any objections to the amendment?
No. May I say, am I on the stack?
Okay, well, right now we're debating Russell's amendment. So,
oh, we have to debate it. Okay.
Is there any objections to the amendment?
There are none.
Okay, hearing none, and
the
amendment.
Okay,
well, can you read the amendment again, Russell?
Okay, I'm just sending it out to everybody, too, so everybody can read it. Let me pull it back up.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Campbell?
Yes, I don't know if Renee was going to speak on the amendment or not.
Well, I agree with it. I mean, it's just basically closing, you know, kind of closing the, doing everything that's necessary to get it to the people who are supposed to act on.
All right. So should I read the amendment again?
Secretary, no objections. I think we can safely accept it and move on to voting on the motion.
Well, it sounds like Russell wanted, Wesley wanted to hear it first because he wasn't sure.
Okay, the amendment is that the committee chair is directed to forward a copy of this motion to the NES, the ED, and the PNB by 8 a.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, September 15th, 2010. Request that the NES advise the Elections Committee of any actions related to and or based upon this motion.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. Is there any objections to that amendment?
No.
Okay, hearing none, the amendment's adopted. Okay, let's see, and we're kind of running a little short on time. I don't think we established a time limit for this item, but we do have some other things on the agenda to remind everybody. So, Renee, I think you're next.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm not blaming the executive director for this situation. She was plopped down into Pacifica's financial crisis and is trying to frantically get out. I just think that in agreeing with something Ken said, if we're extending the election, if there's no quorum, and you saw in the NES's report that there are only 200 ballots returned at WPFW, and we have approximately Thursday, it'll be 2 weeks from this coming Thursday, in 2 days, we only have 2 weeks left, and we only have 200 ballots returned. So I think that it may have to be extended anyway, because that's not going to be quorum, even if we triple 200.
So I'm not sure it's going to make a difference. And we can tout on the air that we're sending out these booklets, and now you can vote. I just think it's not anyone's fault, but I just think we should try to remedy this thing because it's going to drag on and on if we don't have a quorum anyway.
Mr. Chair, can I
okay.
on stat?
Campbell?
Yes, I think that, you know, Renee is entirely correct on this matter. As I understand it, maybe it was covered in the report earlier, that there are over 10,000 that were sent out. And I have a profound concern of the situation. You get a ballot, and then you get the candidate statements 2 weeks or so later. You know, they don't catch up with each other. I think that it would be very important with the announcement for the extension that it also include that people can request an additional, a second ballot. Now, I'm saying that right now because I think we would, of course, have to have some controls to avoid there being two ballots sent out, but I think that this is a situation that Pacifica's faced in the past. Certainly it's been faced in D.C. because people have not gotten ballots, and you know, so they've had to call in for second, well, I guess you could say second copies or for the first copy that they didn't get.
Because you want on-air announcements that people are going to request a replacement ballot.
Right, and that there would be,
okay.
And what we would need to do, though, ahead of time is to be prepared to provide these additional ballots and you know, secure, have whoever or however it's done to be able to get the information needed to ensure that we aren't sending two ballots to the same person.
Okay. I think that's already taken care of. I mean, they do that whenever they send replacement ballots, but...
Okay.
But certainly fine to send out, to have more on-air announcements about this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can we wrap this up? I hope we keep talking about this all night, I know, but everybody said everything they really need to say.
I'd make a recommendation that we vote on the motion with the approved amendment rather than modifying it anymore. We can make another motion about an announcement on the replacement ballots. But
yeah.
To accelerate getting business done, it's better to keep the motions as simple as possible.
Right.
Well,
I call the vote.
Well, okay. Well, somebody had a question. What was that?
No, see, yeah. I called the question.
Yeah, Anthony
well,
here.
You can't really call a question in a committee meeting, but hopefully everybody will be willing to go ahead and vote rather than keeping discussing it
sure.
all night. But go ahead, Anthony.
I was going to propose an amendment, but it's a simple one.
Do you want to do the amendment or is it a separate motion?
Amendment.
Okay, go ahead.
I agree that some extension seems appropriate, especially if this promised date of arrival of the booklets isn't met. If they don't meet that date, then it is getting kind of tight between when people will get a booklet and when they'll have time to vote and get their ballot back in. But I don't... 45 days, I calculate it would be about October 28th, which is almost a month beyond the existing date. I don't know that much time is necessary. I was going to suggest that an amendment to the effect that the new ballot due date be October 15th. That's 2 weeks and a day. That ought to suffice, even if the booklets don't quite meet the promised time of arrival.
Okay, so you're... saying about the be extended to October 15th.
Right.
Okay. Is there any discussion on this? Hope we can keep this short. Hold on a second.
Was that 15 days, you're saying?
No, October 15th be the date, the new due date.
And how many days would that be?
Well, it's 15 beyond the existing date.
It would be October 15th for 45 days from the date the ballots are mailed out?
I'm proposing October 15th be the new due date.
Oh, you're proposing another due date apart from the motion.
I'm proposing to amend the motion that the due date be October 15th rather than almost October.
So that would effectively be a little over 30 days from the ballot mailing date. I'm guessing when the ballot mailing date was, but sounds like it was a few days ago if they were supposed to arrive by the end of this week.
From the statement mailing date.
Yeah. Okay, so sir, any more discussion on this motion? I mean, on the amendment?
Yes. Speaking to that,
okay.
Why do we fall off the edge of the earth if it's extended to October 28th? What are the consequences? What's the difference? Who cares?
Well, should I answer that?
Yeah.
I mean, there's several things. Yeah. The longer we have to pay the LESs, the cost, there's a little bit of increase in cost. If it is accompanied by on-air announcements, which I presume would have to be, it may interfere with the station fund drives, or the fund drives will interfere with the announcements. I would rather not mandate that we do
Anthony.
This. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to answer your question. But the usually there's resistance at the stations.
That's all hypothetical. Like, I'm asking why you fall off the edge of the universe, off the edge of the earth, if it gets extended to October 28th. You're telling me the difficulties. I'm asking what's the calamity, not the difficulty.
Anthony,
I'm asking the person who made the motion.
I can answer. I'll answer that. Whether you think it's sufficient or not is another matter. I don't see extending it beyond what ought to be a sufficient time, and I think October 15th is sufficient, and beyond that, it seems pointless.
But what's the consequences of extending it to the 28th? I mean,
why not extend it to November 15th?
If you can answer that, that would be fine. What's the consequences?
My logic is that to extend it to what seems sufficient and not beyond. Why keep extending and extending? The last board meeting, at the last LSB meeting of the year will be in LSB meetings of the year will be in November. The new board is supposed to take office in December. There needs to be time for the election to be certified. And
yeah, but we have the whole month of November to count up the votes.
I don't see that there'd be anyone who wanted to vote would have had time to vote by October 15th. So why extend it further? That's my rationale.
Okay, anybody else want to talk about this amendment? About Anthony's amendment?
Russell.
Okay, Russell. Let's try to keep this brief. Okay. So
yeah,
we get other things in the agenda. Go ahead, Russell.
I just think it. Just 15 days might not be long enough for all of the listeners. I'm thinking of the listeners and the reason why the bylaws wanted such a good long time in the first place.
Okay, so you feel it's not long enough because of what was that? What was the reason?
Because it's not going to give everybody a long enough time to be able to sit down and think through. People are working people, and they have to find the time to sit down with the booklet and go through the candidates and read those statements and think about who they want to elect. And that's why the bylaws in the first place give 45 days, or it's one of the reasons. So I think we should stick to the original motion I appreciate the point, Anthony, but I do think we should stick to Renee's original motion.
Okay, can we go ahead and vote on the amendment and then vote on the main motion, I hope? Okay.
We're going to vote on the amendment?
Yeah, let's vote on Anthony's amendment
on Anthony's
first.
Amendment. And Anthony's amendment is to say extend the voting period till October 15th. The substitute motion. It's not an amendment. Isn't that correct?
I'd call it an amendment.
I think it's an amendment. It's just changing the time, the date.
Okay. What we're voting on is to change the motion to say extend October 15th. Rather than say extend the election to 30 days after the mailing date of the booklet.
Or 45 days.
I'm calling the roll. Anthony Fest?
Yes.
This is in support of Anthony. Oh, you made the motion, sorry. Ken Aaron? No. Fred Klund is not here. Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Okay, Wesley. Wesley? Melinda?
Pass, pass.
Melinda?
But
Melinda?
No.
Okay, Campbell?
Pass.
Okay, Renee Bowser?
No.
Okay, Peter Tucker? Not here. Alex Nye. Russell?
No.
Okay, and Manajek?
No.
Okay, I can check with Campbell on the past?
No.
Okay, the motion failed. Can we now go to the existing motion with the approved amendment?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't you read the motion again with the amendment?
I read it. Extend the election to 45 days from the date of the mailing of the booklet. And I would have just changed the grammar, that the election be extended. All right, just say, extend the election to 45 days from the date of the mailing of the booklet. The committee chair is directed to forward a copy of this motion to the NES, ED, and PNB by 8 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday, September 15, 2010, with the request that the NES advise the Elections Committee of any actions related to and or based upon this motion. That's what we're voting on, ladies and gentlemen. And just give me one moment here. I have to do a little electronic thing. And I'm going to do this. And clear the slate. And here we go. We're voting. Anthony Fest.
I'll pass.
Okay. Ken Aaron, yes? Bill Crozier.
No.
Okay. Wesley. Wesley Bethune.
Yes.
Okay. Melinda.
No.
Okay. Campbell.
Pass.
Pass. Renee Bowser.
Yes.
Okay. Russell Dale.
Yes.
Okay. And Manage.
Yes.
Okay. And the past people were Campbell.
Yes.
Okay. And Anthony.
I'll abstain.
An abstention and motion passed.
Okay. Thank you. And could you send me the exact text of that by email?
Sure.
After the meeting so I can send it on to everybody?
Got it.
Thank you. Okay.
You know, but Anthony here, I will vote yes.
All right.
Well, you're not supposed to change your vote after the vote's
okay.
Been
okay. It's not best.
It didn't matter. It passed anyway.
Right.
Okay, next item on the agenda, and it's we only have about 30 minutes for the meeting now, the rest of the meeting, 33 minutes.
Is that my motion?
Mr. Chair, do you want me to keep time?
Well, the next thing is report from each station area on elections. Maybe we can try to cut this. We had 30 minutes allocated. Maybe we can, if we try to be brief, we can do that quicker so we can get to the new business items, which is after that. But, yeah, if you could keep time. Why don't you give us tell us after 10 minutes, okay? We've already approved the agenda allocating 30 minutes, and we neglected to put a time limit on this previous thing. So it went over 30 minutes.
Oh, did it? Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
So our time is now, is it, I'm setting it for?
Why don't you just give us a reminder in 10 minutes? Every 10 minutes. Okay. What I guess I'm asking for is everybody, since Renee Asteria is not able to be on the call tonight, just anything that
this
you want
Ken,
put
I can
in.
AFK, I'm the only representative here.
Okay. Anything you want to say about how things are going at your station that we want to tell her about or ask her questions about?
No, I want to report to the committee. I'm not concerned about reporting to Renee.
Okay. Okay, good. Go ahead. Ken, tell us about KPFK.
We're moving along. Les Ratke has come down to replace the previous LES, and he just received a certain amount of booklets from UPS, which I do believe is adequate. And he's had the in-person forums. Three were scheduled. Two have occurred. Attendance was marginal, 8 to 10 audience members. And the on-air forum were conducted, one in English, one a day for 5 days. And then there was going to be Spanish, 2 hours, bilingual. But as it occurred, and the first one occurred Monday, Tuesday.
I have bifocals.
And the only issue was there was only Spanish callers, and all of the guests spoke Spanish, so they just stayed Spanish. So it was like a two-hour Spanish forum. And that's where it's at. And as we're not near quorum, we got 400 votes that have come in so far. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Nobody else is there from KPFK, right?
Oh.
Okay. When did Les Radke start?
Oh, he's staying with me. He's been here about a week and a half, something.
Okay. All right, who wants to go next?
I can speak a little bit on WPFW, not...
Okay, go ahead, Renee.
I'd have to talk to the LES. The LES gave a report at our LSB meeting last week, and I've heard she was on our community comment one morning. I've heard her on another show, and one thing I think it's pretty good. The times I've listened, can't listen that much during the week, but I've heard the announcement every morning, even in Interrupting Democracy Now, and I've heard it on other shows. That the programmers are doing live read. It's so much better than it was last year. So I don't know if it's adequate, but it's so much better than it was last year. I know that one LSB member did not get a ballot, and she called, and she still, had not gotten the ballot as of last week's LSB meeting. And one LSB member got two ballots.
Yeah, that's
okay.
So that's
the live reads. What is the live reads? Is that of just, reminding people about the election?
Yeah, live read, reminding them about the election to send in, to send in their ballots. And also, I've heard candidate statements much more than I ever did last year.
Okay.
So it's an improvement. I can't tell you how regular it is because during the day after 9:30, quarter of 10, I'm no longer listening till about 5:30. And then I listen on the weekends.
Okay. Let me ask you, I want to go back to Ken and ask the same thing. I forgot. Airtime, I know you had a big problem before during the candidate nomination period not getting enough carts played. So is that better now? Is that what you're saying?
I can't report on that.
Well, let me ask Renee first. I know this is a different phase where we're hearing candidate carts instead of, will you be a candidate cart, but... Or is that improved, Renee?
You talking about this, Renee?
Yes.
Oh.
WPFW?
The types of carts I've heard were the candidates, their campaign statements.
Yes.
And also I've heard the programmers talk about how, the WPFW election is on. Please participate. The ballots are due back September 30th.
Okay, but I guess my question was that
Sorry. That
sounds like that's better than the on-air announcements, even though they were a different type, during the nomination phase. Is that right?
I think so.
Because you had said that there were, and you and Campbell, I think, both said that there were not very many on-air announcements during the nomination phase.
Better, because I'm definitely aware, and as I said, since I work during the day, I'm not listening usually after 9:30 in the morning, for some 8 to 9:30. And then I don't start listening to maybe 5:36 at Spectrum today and maybe listen for an hour.
Mr. Chair, I call the agenda. Can we move through this? I do want to get to my motion.
Sorry, I just was elaborating.
Okay.
Yes.
I did not get into this,
Okay, well, Ken, can you give us a quick note about your on-air announcements? Are they better than they were during the nomination period at K?
KBFK? No, I can't report on that.
You don't know? Okay, because I know they were... pretty bad there.
No, but I remember the agenda. We got three more stations to go.
Okay. All right. Who wants to go next? Other stations?
Anthony here. I can report on A very briefly.
Okay.
As Renee's report says, that there are about 1,600 ballots collected as yet. That's apparently ahead of last year's pace by several hundred, so look to be on pace to easily surpass a quorum. Let's see. Ben seems to be very good, at least in my informal checking. There seems to be good play of candidate cards, probably better than has been done before. Let's see, we've got quite a few in-person forums. There's one going on tonight, for example, and been several already. Also, there'll be three rounds of on-air forums, so it's being extensively publicized. We've got 27 listener candidates and 7 staff candidates. The only fly in the ointment, I have heard a number of staff people saying they've received both a staff ballot and a listener ballot. I'm not sure what's being done to rectify that.
Okay. All right, thank you. And be sure to report the stuff to your LES, too.
Point of privilege or either an addendum to the WPFW report, Mr.
Yeah, Campbell? Okay.
Yes. Very briefly, I just wanted to mention that there is one of the candidates who has, from everything that I've heard, been on the air at least 5 times, and we're getting confirmation of the information regarding that, but I just wanted to alert the election committee that we have a major kind of violation taking place at WPFW.
On air, not in the candidate carts or a forum?
Not in candidate situations at
okay.
all. 2 minutes.
Be sure to report it to your LES.
Yes,
okay.
Will do.
Okay.
This is Russell.
Yeah, Russell.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to make a comment about WPFW.
Okay. Well, quickly, because we need to hear from your station, too.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a second. But just ending or voiding the election wouldn't just result in pressuring one or two of the 10 or 11 people to drop out. It would disenfranchise all the current candidates who are not currently, delegates, LSB members. D.C., Washington, D.C., PFW barely makes quorum, even with extensions. If she cancels the election, the quorum will almost certainly not be met. And according to Article 4, Section 5 of the bylaws, if the quorum isn't met, existing members continue until the scheduled election, and any candidate who is not now a board member will not be able to serve. So it would be a very unfair thing, and I just think that should be said. It would really be illegal, it looks to me.
Yeah, I agree. There's complications even though it sounds simple, it might not, according to the bylaws. Well, can you give us a report about WBAI?
Well, I could say a few things that I'm familiar with. First of all, no carts are playing on the air during the weekends in New York, and I think that that's a very bad thing. They do happen 4 times a day in the weekdays, but they're not playing in the weekends, and that really is not a good thing. Also, it looks like the return address on the return address on the envelopes that were sent from Berkeley for the WBAI ballots. That the return addresses on the envelopes that were sent with the ballots from Berkeley have a different address from the return address that's listed in the booklet, the PDF of the booklet, on page 3 of that booklet, the BAI. That seems to me a really serious problem.
The booklet return address, is that the does it say that's the address to send the... ballots to, or is that the one that has the form that for contributions?
It says
because I know it's
well,
different.
It sort of lists both sending
minutes,
it with
Mr. Chair,
or sending it.
Was that Campbell? Is that
ten minutes?
Minutes? Okay, thank you. Okay, well, we down at 30. I hope we can cut that way back so we can finish up here shortly.
Right,
okay,
you want me to set for 10 or 20?
How about another 5?
Motion for another 5.
Okay, well, we don't really need to extend because we allocated 30. I'm just hoping we can finish ahead of schedule so we can get to the rest of the...
we need is KPFT.
Okay. Well, and thank you, Russell. Well, by the way, that's the same, I think, for all stations. There was an address in the pamphlet for if you want to send in a contribution, and that goes directly to the station. All the ballots are supposed to go to a PO box that's different than the station address for security reasons. so that other people at the station can't mess with the ballots. But I agree, it might be confusing. Okay, KPFT, Melinda or Wesley, you want to say anything?
The only thing I have to talk about is I did notice with interest the comment that Carolyn Burton did in the email regarding the timing of the forums. And
this
I'm
about KPFT now.
Yes, apparently we've had this problem because and I must say that this is the first time in the six elections that we've ever had any time where they just arbitrarily picked a time. And granted, I know the reasoning that they said was because there are more listeners there. But the thing is that it's just not fair to the candidates.
About the on-air forums that were during the weekday?
Correct. Because when you think about it, it's not really fair at a time when jobs are really dear for somebody to risk their job, you know, for a volunteer position. And to me right there, that's saying, well, you don't want the working people. So I really think that there should be something stated, since apparently in the past we've never had to state anything. It's always been that they did them in the evening or they would like doing during the day on a weekend. But I really don't think that that's fair.
Okay. Wesley, do you want to add anything? Okay, I'll just say... And it's kind of a little bit similar to Russell's thing earlier, slightly, but the in terms of the card playing, we have candidate cards playing all the time, every day, day and evening. Not every hour, but almost every hour there's one. They're not grouped together normally. They're just one candidate, which is works pretty well, but I haven't been keeping track of them, so I don't know if they're playing the correct ones. That's been a chronic problem in the past. Sometimes they push the wrong button and then... Or click on the wrong item on the screen and it plays the previous candidate's statement twice. But I haven't noticed that on air, so I think that's going pretty well. And we've had two in-person forums that were pretty poorly attended. I don't think they were announced adequately on air, but they were good forums for in terms of getting information about the candidates, and they were recorded. So and hopefully that will be available for people that didn't attend. Okay. Do you got all that, Ken? Or more or less?
I really didn't. I was catching up on
okay.
the notes.
Well, it's mostly just whatever. If there's any problems when you report, I guess we can go over this stuff later.
I'd like to throw something out for TV.
Question.
Okay.
This is Wesley. I just sent everybody an email. You don't have to open it right now, but it's a hoot. There's a little sound segment with our general manager pitching with our Saturday morning DJ from the 9 a.m. to noon hour. And I just appreciate you reading it. Maybe we'll discuss it further, exactly what are fair campaign provisions and, you know, whether this is illegal or not. Just for your consideration. Thank you.
All right. Okay, can we move on to the next agenda item? New business?
Okay.
Okay, first is Ken's motion. Okay.
Okay, the motion motivates itself, so I'm just going to read this. Whereas Tracy Rosenberg failed to inform the PNB Elections Committee of her candidacy for the KPFA-LSB and also failed to recuse herself from that committee, and whereas the failure constitutes a real or apparent conflict of interest, be it resolved that Tracy Rosenberg is suspended from the PNB Elections Committee until the third meeting after the third certification of the KPFA-LSB election of 2010. That's the motion.
Can I get on the stack?
Second.
Be on the stack
okay.
as well.
Was that Renee first?
Yes.
Okay.
And Campbell seconded it? You don't have to be seconded in
connection. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Wait a second. Everybody, please be brief, or we have other motions, too.
I just want to know, what is the rule? Is there some problem? Did she have some advantage by being on this committee? I don't know.
No.
There's no rule for this.
Is there a stack? Russell, 5 minutes
passed. Russell, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Can I ask a question directly of Ken?
Yeah, I'll answer.
Okay.
what rule did she violate? Like what?
That's what I was
what are you motivating?
What I consider, and you can't make rules for everything. So if somebody, punches the telephone during the call, they're disruptive to the meeting. I think it's disingenuous and irrespective of the committee to not disclose to the members of this committee that one of the members of the committee is running in the election, and that you should be aware of that, and then the committee can decide whether or not that person should recuse themselves or there's a conflict of interest. This is true in all committees, in all bodies of governance, that when a person has a vested interest on matters dealt by that committee, they have to announce or disclose the apparent conflict of interest. That's what I'm saying.
We've already addressed it this year.
Pardon me?
We have already addressed this year. Because I'm a candidate. I announced my candidacy earlier. I asked if there would be a problem. We talked about it. Bill pointed out the fact that he was a candidate when he was the chair of this committee last year. This is not without precedence. And I did bring it up. As Bill, do you recall when I brought that up? Because I wanted to be sure everything was on the up and up.
Right. Usually half the members are up for election each time. So about half the people are going to be running for re-election on election years.
I did bring it to the committee earlier when I became a candidate, and they said there was no problem at that time. Therefore, I really have a problem with her suddenly becoming a problem.
But she didn't. You did, and she didn't.
This is Russell.
Okay. Yeah, Russell?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Melinda, I remember that.
Point of information, Mr. Chair.
Who just
spoke?
Melinda.
Okay, thank you.
And then Ken, he spoke, but Ken and her were both speaking. Okay. So go ahead.
Thank you. I remember that, Melinda, and I remember that the thought was, well, I mean, as I recall it, we sort of decided that was, you know, what can you do? I mean, it's like Bill just said, it's always going to be that way, you know, if somebody does something that's, really looks to be like they're trying to gain advantage through being on the committee, you know, we need to address it, but there shouldn't be anything in principle wrong with somebody who's running for re-election being on the committee. Maybe I'm misremembering, but that's how I remember the sort of spirit of what we talked about.
Campbell,
so you're saying
that
people should just disclose it, though? Or
no, I thought we had said it's not really necessary, like in a general sort of way, or at least that the idea was that since Melinda, who did say that she was running so clearly, and we just, Bill, you had said at that call that, well, what can we do? Half the time, we're all, you know, we will have people running for re-election, and they have to serve on the committee. That's just the nature of the way we do our governance. So it seems like, although, I mean, if Tracy did something wrong or sought some sort of advantage, I mean, we should talk about it, but I don't think, Ken, you're saying that except for that she didn't say anything about that she was running for re-election. And I just don't see how that in itself is a problem.
Okay.
Manager, go ahead.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I think I asked for...
Yes, Campbell.
Oh, Campbell was first. You're right. Okay, sorry.
Okay, thank you so much. You know, one thing that's been somewhat frustrating for me has been that one of our PNB members was elected to a one-year term and so is now in the process of running as a candidate again for the LSB. And she also was someone that I think pretty generally in regard to the LSB was someone we would want to have on our election committee. However, she has felt that, you know, because she is a candidate for election, that she should not be a member of our local LSB election committee. And this is something I think that there should be some kind of policy established in regard to this, because certainly this is a person who has the highest integrity, I would identify, in terms of you know, expressing the desire not to be in any appearance of a conflict of interest. And I would
say, well, not the national. There's a difference between a local committee and the national.
Right, and the difference is that the national committee is setting policy, which affects the entire network, as well as anything that would affect this individual's candidacy.
Well, let's let Manish 8 speak.
Sorry?
Go ahead, wrap it up if you can, because I can answer that, but go ahead.
Okay, so at any rate, my view is that it's something that should be at least identified or announced at each vote that's taken that the person participates in, or the participant should recuse themselves from the vote.
Okay. Manajay?
Yeah, my thought is along the same line. I forget the name of the person who just talked. But
Campbell.
That this is a question. I don't remember being part of that discussion because I didn't participate earlier on. That the person has talked about it and was a decision made at the committee about that. But generally, I think when people make vote on things and influence the decisions that the body makes, if they have conflict of interest, is a problem. Even the appearance, I'm not questioning the integrity of the person who is already here, but generally we should have that process acknowledge and recognize and deal with it. Very straightforward. Thanks.
Okay. Let me just, I was going to add myself, just sort of respond to Campbell. The bylaws specify that for the local elections committee that they're appointed by the local election supervisor. So presumably they're probably not going to allow a candidate to be on the committee, or unless they allow all the candidates to be on or something like that. But anyway, the local election committees are different. They're not elected. They're appointed by the LES. So
Anthony,
anybody else want to? Yeah, Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm very much against suddenly picking one person and invoking an arbitrary penalty for something for something on which there is no rule. The election committee, as far as I can tell, isn't even mentioned in the bylaws. So to bring this up now is really inappropriate. If people want to set a rule about that later, let's deliberate it and figure it out and enact it not while an election is underway, and it's hardly a secret when one runs for election. I mean, it's up there on the website for anyone who cares to notice.
Okay. Point of information.
Yeah, Campbell.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The point of information that I have is that also in the bylaws there's a provision regarding conflict of interest, and what this provision requires is that the individual who has the appearance, at least, of a conflict of interest would share this with the body before any action is taken. And I would also encourage that before a statement is made regarding a particular action. So we do have in the bylaws a precedent for the appearance of conflict of interest. And I think that that would, even though there isn't a explicit addressing of the election committee, but just that how that relates to the PNB and the appearance of a conflict of interest, that could be applied in this circumstance such that it's just a minimal kind of thing that a person would identify prior to their expressing an opinion and prior to a vote, that they do have the an interest in this situation.
Can I ask you a quick question?
I've got a historic reference.
Okay, go ahead, Melinda.
Yes, in 2006, this was the first time it was ever considered. I was a member of this committee when it was done. At that time, I believe, in fact, it was Les Radke who was the election supervisor. And we had talked about the local versus the national and membership at the time. At the time, he stated that there was no problem with an individual being on the national. However, it was pointed out that as the local elections committee would work directly with the election in which we would be running, that there would be a conflict in that particular instance. Here, we're talking, you know, blanket, all elections, whereas there it would be a direct influence. Therefore, for that reason, they did not permit anybody, and to my knowledge, since then, there's never been anyone permitted to be on the local election committee if they were currently a candidate.
Okay, and I was just going to ask Campbell, as I understood it, the bylaws, the article about conflict of interest just deals with financial conflicts. Is there some other conflict of interest it deals with there in the bylaws?
I haven't reviewed them, you know, very recently, but I just recall that there was the issue about conflict of interest.
Okay, well, there's a whole section in there about it, but I think it's about financial conflict.
Okay.
Excuse me, this is Renee Bowser. It's 10:25.
Thank you, yeah.
Say that.
Yeah, can we go ahead and vote on this motion?
Sure.
Okay. All right, Ken, you want to go ahead and...
I'm sorry, this is Russell?
Yeah, Russell?
Yeah, on page 484 of Robert's Rule, says that a committee has no power to punish its members for disorder or other improper conduct related to its proceedings, but should report the facts to the assembly. So, you know, there is that too, that, you know, it's not necessarily, the Robert's Rule seems to say that we really
can't. Can you repeat that, please, Russell, so I can get it?
Yeah, it's page 484. It says, a committee has no power to punish its members for disorder or other improper conduct related to its proceedings, but should report the facts to the assembly. In this case, I guess that would be the PNB.
Okay. In regards to that, I withdraw the motion. Could you send me that in an email so I can
sure.
Send it?
Yeah, you got it, Ken.
Okay. So the motion is withdrawn? So we don't need to deal with this?
No, I have my pound of flesh. Thank you.
And okay. The time expired.
All right. Okay, well, it's 3 minutes before we have to finish. I'll entertain a motion to extend if you want, but can we make sure we get the next meeting date first?
Good idea.
We had our regular date, more or less regular, is the second Tuesday, which would be October 12th. Is that still okay with everybody?
I say go with it.
I think so.
Any objections to that? And I think, let me check, I believe it's already on the KPFDX calendar. Yeah, it is. Okay. We need to review action items. Not sure we have any other than...
Oh, absolutely do. You have to send out, you have to notify the ED, the NES.
Oh, the motion, right?
Yeah. And
hello?
We have questions for the NES on the basis of her report, which I will forward to you. Is that adequate?
Okay, right. Thank you. So, and if anybody else has additional questions, of course, now or later, or suggestions or problems to report, please report them to your LES if appropriate and to our NES. And a reminder, there's a complaint, I forget what it's called, reporting form on the national website, and there's advantages doing that because it ask for all the right contact information and what station it refers to, and it makes it easier for to be followed up on. Okay, so we got the action items. We have about 1 minute before we were scheduled to adjourn. Do I hear a motion to extend time, or do we want to...
I move to adjourn.
I second, because I've really got to go to bed tonight.
Okay. Are there any objections to adjourning?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. And the other items on the agenda that were left, if you folks want to email them out to all of us, so we could still handle it by email, perhaps, too.
Okay. Thank
you.
Those
are mostly
just
questions that we need to send on. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk. talk to you next month.
I just want to remind Russell, please send me that quotation and the page number.
Yeah, I sent it to you already.
You
should get it.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.